All right. I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' name. Blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us today. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom and understanding. Help us be faithful to you, to bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31 is where we'll begin reading. You know, a lot of times we get our ideas or our doctrines or dogmas all in order. We think we have everything just the way we need to. Today we live in a time where if you talk about the Bible or Bible study or doctrine, everybody has their way all figured out. And we live in a time where people are taught that if they just believe in Jesus or ask Him to forgive them, that they will be saved. Or we quote Bible verses about all these things. And one thing that we've learned, tried to figure out that a lot of times we get our doctrines ahead of just the simplicity of what Jesus said. And I've gotten in trouble with people before because they would ask me if I put more emphasis on what Jesus said than what Paul said. And I said, of course I do. And they just thought that was blasphemous, that it's all the Bible. But if we don't line up what we believe about the Bible, if it doesn't line up with Jesus, then we've missed something. Christ is the head of the church. And everything that we believe, if it's not founded, and it can't be find its root in what Christ taught about what we believe, what Paul said, or what we believe any of the other apostles said, then it's wrong. Jesus is the founder. Jesus is God in the flesh. And it's His word that stands and will stand. And if our doctrines don't line up with what Jesus said, we're wrong. It's so fundamental whenever we look at even how we got our Bible. The apostles wrote down the story of Jesus, the Gospels. They wrote down what they saw and heard. They sat at His feet for 3 years, listening, understanding, hearing, sometimes not getting it, oftentimes not getting it. And we look at this account and we look at the Bible and we see these apostles, and sometimes they're almost portrayed as just a bunch of knuckleheads. And that's kind of the opinion that we have of them a lot of times. In the world, we think they just didn't do very well. We look at Peter and all the mistakes that he made, and we focus on those mistakes. But this man was chosen by the Lord Himself. This man was chosen. And this man forsook everything that he had to follow Jesus. We look at his human imperfections a lot of times and his weaknesses, and we just kind of discount him. And we do that a lot of times with all the apostles. And then we take what Paul said maybe and we just exalt that way above. But whenever we look at the history of how our Bible came about, it was because these men walked with Jesus and they wrote it down. And they wrote the good with the bad. And then the ones that were under them, the ones that the early church fathers and the early church men, these things were passed down and the traditions, and they chose these things. But it all is founded on Jesus and what he taught. And then those that he taught. And then those that he taught. And we get things so mixed up sometimes. But the heart of it is what Jesus said. These verses here in verse 31. Matthew 25 verse 31. Jesus speaking. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. You know, we look at the nations today and how powerful they are, how powerful they seem to be. One of these days, all of these things will be brought before this man, Jesus, when he sits upon his throne. We sang these songs about glorious and about how glorious he is. And that's what we forget a lot of times. We get so caught up in the things all around us and our so important lives. You know, one of the thoughts I had this morning was seeing the bigger picture. Seeing the bigger picture. We look at, let's just say, a little colony of ants, and just watch them scurrying about all over. And those ants all just running here and there. And then we back up just a little bit and see something. I mean, it's just a little small thing that we see. And we can rise up above that, and we've all seen pictures of cities or highways and all these cars just going everywhere, just line after row of them. Or when we're stuck in traffic and there's just a whole row of traffic ahead of us or behind us. And you just think how important what we're doing, sitting in this car in a whole line of people. And what we're doing is so important. But when you back up and rise up above that and you see this, maybe from an airplane, or people have taken pictures of this little row of cars going here and there. Just, there's a lot bigger picture than the person that's just sitting in the car, all frustrated about what's going on with the traffic, or all upset with that. There's a bigger picture. You know, we back up and we see it's pretty insignificant, this little row of cars going down the road. We back up a little further. You know, they've taken pictures from outer space. And guess what? You can't even see those little cars anymore. And the earth is just going around and around, and all this big universe going all around us. And way down in the middle of it, there's this little row of ants going about their business. And then a little bigger than the ants, with all this row of people going about their business, and how little it really is in the universe. The bigger picture. How small and insignificant we really are. But yet, how upside down and how big and how important our dreams and our ambitions are. The bigger picture. You know, the boys talked about denying their selves. And Judah talked about living with a bunch of boys that, not the best boys probably. A lot of them been in trouble, have no hope, nowhere to turn. And a lot of times we have plans and our ambitions and our ideas of what we want to do. And then someone comes along and messes that up. And we can either let that really mess us up, or we can just deny ourselves and realize that my plans, no matter how lofty and high they may seem to be, are still just a little bitty thing in the bigger picture. And what better thing for my plans is to have them surrendered to God's plan for my life. And He knows. He's in control of all these things. He's in charge of all of this. But yet we get so caught up in our own mind and in our own ways and in our own things and our own plans and our own holy ambitions that we miss the big picture God has for us. When we look at Jesus, you know, just the story of Jesus. This man came in and they thought he was the Messiah. And he wound up being taken out, mocked, and crucified. You know, we just think of the general sadness of that picture. His family, his friends, those that followed him, watching him die right in front of their face. But God has a bigger picture for all of that. We get caught up in that little picture, get all emotional, get all set aside and turned aside and messed up, and miss the big picture, being in line with what God wants for our lives. A man asked me this week when he was just talking about faith, and he asked for a definition of that faith. Faith is your response to God's demand on your life. That's all faith is. And if God just demands some time for you, from you, that are opposite of your plans and your dreams and schemes of heavenly things or whatever, holy things, and then God drops a different plan in your life, faith is simply your response to God's claim on your life. Because He does have a claim on your life. He created you. Not only that, after you were lost, He reclaimed you through the blood of His Son, through the death of His Son. He has a great claim on your life. And it's not just about you being saved or you working out some holy scheme so that you can exalt yourself. Your purpose in life is to respond to His claim on your life. You know, a lot of people have this definition of faith that it's what you believe or how you believe or whether you do this, you obey this or you obey that, and that's faith. But real faith is your response to God's claim on your life. We see in Hebrews 11, it talked about the men that of faith. They call it the faith chapter. And Abraham was called out of his country. And Abraham was asked to offer up his own son as a sacrifice to God. That looks like a big claim. It was. But it was still a claim. And if Abraham hadn't responded to those smaller claims and earlier claims, he had never been prepared for the bigger claim that God was asking for. Faith is your response to God's claim on your time, on your life, on your plans, on your dreams, on your hopes, on your religion, on whatever you might think. And it takes simple forms. That's where we fail so often. I think that's why so few of us ever have these big claims laid on us. We're just simply not ready, because we can't handle the little ones. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then He will also say to those on His left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" Then He will answer them, "Truly I say unto you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's just a pretty simple thing. These people, the King, the righteous, weren't going around just looking for all these things, how they would impress God. They were just responding to His claim on their life when something showed up, when something was just brought right before them. They responded to that claim. And they didn't even hardly notice it as being anything noteworthy. They said, "When did we do anything for you?" It was just something that they did because they had practiced responding. They had faith. It wasn't anything they were trying to conjure up or trying to make strong. It was just something they had. And whenever God laid a claim on their life, just a little claim, they responded to it. They saw the bigger picture. And those that did not, they just missed it. It was right there in front of them, and they blew it. Over and over and over again. Responding to God's claim on our life is something that the simplest among us can do. The youngest among us can do. Every one of us can do this. But yet, we see that in the Bible it talks about how few. Oftentimes, we get in the way. Our big world doesn't see the bigger picture. We're so caught up in the little race that we're controlling for ourselves that we just completely miss the big picture. Oftentimes, our plans look so wonderful and holy and ambitious for God. And then God just tries to interrupt them over and over again. And we get frustrated. We get upset. It's a little like Balaam riding his donkey. He's riding his donkey and the donkey stops whenever he's trying to go through this thing, and he gets upset with him because he won't go where it wants it to go. So he gets all mad at it, winds up beating it. The donkey finally just lays down. And then the donkey tells Abraham, tells Balaam, or just starts speaking to him. And he opens his eyes, and there's angels there guarding and protecting him from going through there. But he was so bent on doing his way and his will that he wound up even talking to this donkey. Why have you beaten me? Haven't I done everything you're supposed to do? But he was so intent on doing his will that he didn't even recognize that he was talking to a donkey. And God was behind it all, trying to stop him. The simplicity of just letting God be in control of our lives and responding to his claim for your time, for your love, for your will, for everything that you are or will or can be, responding to his claim, being attentive to it, being ready to let his will become your will, his plans become your plans. The changes, the opportunities, the failures of our plans so that his are exalted. Song, ready to go, ready to stay, ready thy will to do. Seeing the bigger picture and being ready. You know, we read the Bible a lot of times and we see these great things, or we have these things that men did. A lot of times whenever we read these stories about these men, that's all there is in the Bible that there is about them. Just a paragraph or two. Maybe a chapter or two. But they lived a whole life to have that chapter or that verse written about them. They lived a whole life preparing for that time over and over, surrendering their will to God's will. Over and over, letting God change their plans. Being directed. So that when a big thing came along, it was just taking another step in their life of just surrendering to God's will. Faith is simply surrendering to God's claim on your life. May the Lord add His blessing.
Our assignment for the week before the wedding, but we did a different one then. It was to say some way that we can deny ourselves. And one way that I can, or anybody can deny ourselves, is if you've got some plan, something you want to do, maybe long-term goal, and you realize that maybe it's probably not God's will for you. Denying yourself could be to decide to do what God wants you to do instead of what you want to do.
To me, denying myself means to commit my life to serving God no matter what the cost and making that my top priority.
I think denying yourself means to forsake all your desires and wants and comforts, for even if some of them might not be necessarily that bad, but just to choose the better way to do what you know is right.
One way I can deny myself and take up my cross is just when we're working, and just if someone else has an idea, just go along with it and help them, and rather than trying to do your own thing, and so just putting others first and just doing the best we can right now.
I think denying ourselves means not living just for what we can get out of this life, but living to serve our Creator who put us on this earth.
A way I can deny myself is to just, when I'm doing something and I really want to get it done, but someone else needs me, I just let my stuff there and go help them.
To deny yourself is just to leave go of what you want in this life, but just take what the Lord wants you to do, what you know that is next and He wants you to do.
One way to deny myself is to love my friends and God and family more than myself and put their needs first.
One way to deny myself is I think every day when I wake up, I live with some people that maybe aren't the friendliest and maybe aren't, you know, the nicest people to be with. And I have goals and I have things that I'd like to get done throughout the day. But understanding that part of this journey is getting along with people and loving each other. That's what's part of it, and getting along with everybody, even though that I'd like to do things.
To deny yourself, Jesus is to not lie and do good to others.
Morning, everyone. I'd like to read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it will be well with you and you will live a long life. And I was thinking about honoring your father and mother. And I was just thinking, well, what would be one way that I could honor my parents? And I thought, well, I could ask them for some help with some decisions that I'll make throughout my life, and that would be one way that I could honoring them and just seeking their wisdom and trying to make the right decisions so I can live a long life on this earth, which is kind of vain, but anyway, trying to live a long life, but it's not the point I was trying to make, but just honoring your parents, because that's just God gave you a set of parents just to love and obey and just to honor them. And I was talking to a man this week. We put in a door for him anyway. And he was talking about his parents and he just how he didn't have anything for his dad. He hadn't seen his dad since he was 16. And I was just imagining what that would have been like, just to not have anything for your father. I think personally I've got one of the best dads in the world, but I just was thinking about that, just not having a father to go to when you have a problem, or not even to honor. I mean, us honoring someone is that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have someone above us that we have to go to and ask questions and just have someone to honor. Well, I had it put together a lot better this morning, but let's see here. You know, we may think that we don't have we may think these certain little things about our parents that we don't really like, necessarily, like them telling us to do something or not to do something, but if we just honor them through that and just go ahead with it, we'll live a longer life and a good life. We won't have bad things in our past that we wish that we wouldn't have done. But if we, like, I don't know, there's a lot worse situations that we could be in. Our parents could be alcoholics or drug addicts, but we've got a pretty good blessing here with our parents, so we just need to not take it for granted and really appreciate it and just honor them. That's about all I had. Thank y'all.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, that are throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
There.